So, hi, I'm Jen, and I'm really glad to be here today. So, as Katie has introduced, I'm part of the Relayed organization too, but if you don't like my presentation, I'm not. I'm an electrical engineering system PhD student at University of Michigan. I work on robotics. Today, I'd like to share a very exciting field in robotics, where the ultimate goal is for everyone to be able to teach a robot, such as how to make a pizza or how to make cocktail. Let's first take a look at how robots are doing today. So with the automation technology, many industrial robots have already significantly improved the manufacturing efficiency. And as you may have noticed, there's a rising popularity of service robots at our homes. This is Roomba, a vacuum cleaning robot. So it basically goes around your house and vacuum the floor for you. No, but it pretty does a pretty good job at entertaining the cat, though. Yeah, so it's not hard for us to imagine that someday in the future, we would like for the service robots to do more things for us. For example, do the laundry. And obviously, the robots nowadays cannot do that already for us. So conventionally, for that to work, just like the case for the industrial robots, we would rely on robot experts to develop such a robot to do the laundry for us. And meet Steve. He's a robot expert. Let's say he just got assigned to this mission of developing a robot to do the laundry. What he needs to do typically, at first, is to analyze what are the steps involved in laundry. A quick search on Google tells us, well, separate clothes first, and what's more most important is remember not to put the cat into the washing machine under any circumstances. And then add a detergent. Yeah, if you want. And so on. So for each step, Steve has to write up a software so that it can control the robot to do various actions to complete each step. Then this whole process of analyzing steps and writing up software for each step is gonna be repeated if we want the robot to do the cleaning for us instead. And this process will repeat for cooking, sports, and assembly that is always involved in factories, and packaging, loading, and unloading. And all kinds of things that we want the robot to do for us. So this is what will happen in the end for poor Steve. So obviously, it is not practical for us to rely on these robot experts to program for us every time we want a robot to do a new task that it doesn't know of. So the question comes, without expert programming, how does a robot accomplish a new task? For example, you want your service robot to pour a glass of water for you because you're engaged in, say, video games. But robot doesn't know how to do it. Now what? One of the solutions is for the robot to learn from imitation. As we all know, imitation is a very powerful approach that we all take from time to time. Remember the time when you learn how to ride a bike, how to hit a baseball, etc. You always would look at others, like how they do those tasks. And then we would imitate their motions, and then we will practice on our own and get better at those tasks. So the whole field that I want to introduce you today is called robot imitation learning, where it borrows the idea of this imitation that happens in not only human, but also many other species, so that the robot can learn new tasks through imitation and practice. So instead of just relying on the robot expert's programming, we can simply teach the robot how to do a new task by simply standing in front of a robot and demonstrating to it, like how to pour the water from the pitcher into the glass. And then the robot will observe our demonstration through cameras. After watching our demonstration, this is the first step that happens in its head. And it needs to figure out what is the goal of the task. So one way of doing that is to compare the status of the objects at the beginning and at the end of the demonstration. Clearly, in this particular water pouring example, the robot understands that the goal is to fill the empty glass with water. Then it needs to figure out how to actually control its body and accomplish that goal. So how does it do that? Let's pause here and think of our own problem-solving skills. When we are faced with a big problem that seems too difficult to be solved at once, we always split it into smaller pieces, such that each piece is a smaller problem that are easier to solve. And the same methodology applies here. So the robot, instead trying to learn to accomplish that overall goal at once, it will split that task into smaller steps such that each step contains a much simpler goal to accomplish. In this particular example, the robot will look at the hand trajectory of, like, our hand trajectory in the demonstration and analyze the characteristics of the trajectory and split the task based on those characteristics. For example, the hand can be characterized by the hand trajectory can be characterized by the rotation involved and also the translation involved. And the task gets split into different pieces such that each piece contains trajectories that have significant different characteristics. In this particular example, the water pouring task gets split into these two steps, where the first one, the trajectory is mostly characterized by a straight line translation of the hand from the starting point of our hand to the grasping location onto the feature. And the second step is characterized as simultaneous translation and rotation along a curved line from the starting position of the feature into the to the pouring position. And once the robot successfully split the task into smaller steps, it needs to learn how to accomplish each smaller step's goal in sequence. So in detail, to accomplish the first goal, which is reach to grasp, it will control its arm and hand to follow a trajectory that is characteristically similar to the one in the demonstration, which is a straight line towards the side of the pitcher. So you will see it imitate our motion, but it will explore around the pitcher for proper grasping locations. And once it discovers a proper grasping location, it will explore a lot more locations close to that to discover more and more better grasping location. And this whole exploration and learning process iterates until it concludes with a region for good for grasping. And what's more important here is that the robot also learns to firmly grasp the pitcher through practice, because it can discover that only when the pitcher is firmly grasped, the pitcher won't fall off from the hand in the later steps while it's translating, moving the pitcher around. Similarly, for the second step, pour water till the glass is filled, the robot will imitate the simultaneous hand translation and rotation motion. And through practices with different pouring location and angles, which can be modeled as the relevant pose between the opening of the pitcher here to the opening of the glass here. Then at the end of the learning process, it can conclude with a good region for pouring. Once the robot is done with the learning process for both steps, the robot can generalize the control paradigm to work with different locations of pitcher and different locations of glass. So once the robot is done with the learning of pitcher glass water pouring task, when it's given a similar task and similar objects, in this particular example, it's watering the plants, it knows exactly how to do it because it can directly apply the same control paradigm to that and reach to grasp the handle of the watering can on the side and then move it to a pouring location such that the relevant pose between the opening of the watering can here and the top of the plant here is the same to the one that applies to the pitcher glass watering pouring example. But if the object is very different, for example here, the handle is not on the side of the watering can. Instead, it's on the top. And even if, what if there is no handle, which would require more advanced dual hands coordination? The robot doesn't know how to do it. Does this mean the robot is in crisis? Well, obviously no, because we can always show them how to do it by directly teaching them. And robot will be able to learn the new task through imitation and practice. So I'd like to show you some demos of our robot in our lab and also some demo of other robots around the world. This is Baxter that I work with in our lab. This is the research version of that robot, and look at those muscles. Okay, so you probably cannot see it very clearly, but there's a Kinect sensor that I'm mounted here, which can give us the RGB information and also the depth data of the world. So it uses that sensor to look at the world and localize where those objects are on the table. And it also uses that to observe my demonstration. So I decided to tell him, to teach him how to stack two blocks together. This is my demonstration, and this is like what it sees through the Kinect sensor. And this is basically a visualization of the 3D point clouds that it gets from the sensor. With the tracking algorithm, Baxter can reliably track the 3D poses of the blocks and also the simplified hand. And then it can get the complete pose trajectory of that hand with respect to both the blue and the green block. And based on this, given the previous steps, splitting, analysis, and also learning through practices, Baxter can learn how to stack these two blocks together in the end. Sorry. Is this playing? Okay, cool. So it learns to stack these two blocks together at different locations. By the way, this is speed up by 4 times, so it's moving much slower than this. You would notice that once I jump into the picture. Yeah. And it's slow, just basically in my case, it's slow because I need the Kinect sensor to process those point clouds, so I cannot make the robot to move too fast so that the object will move at a proper speed so that I can track it reliably. Great. This is another example of a robot at a German university that the people teaches it how to pour water into different cups at different locations. And in the end, if I can scroll it to the end, but that's okay. Yeah, so in the end, it will be able to learn how to pour water into different cups at different locations by identifying what are the important things. So this is another example of robot at USC that learns to hit a baseball by imitating a whole body motion compared to only the manipulator motion that was in the first two cases. Now, the current challenge that we're facing in robot imitation learning is that sometimes for the complex actions, robot cannot understand it very well, meaning that it cannot understand what are the important aspects related to the actions. For example, there can be many complex actions involved in cooking. If the robot only pays attention to cooking time and misses important aspects like cooking temperature and the conditions of the ingredients, then it won't do a good job at cooking. And a very promising direction to solve that problem is to develop an effective human-robot interaction dialogues such that we can provide more information, more than just the demonstration, and we can help direct the robot's attention to those important aspects that were missing at first. So you can imagine that with this technology in robot imitation learning develops, in like 10 years from now, I'm probably not at the right position to say this, but maybe in 10 years from now. you can imagine that you can have your own service robot at your home, and you can teach it a lot of things. Imagine that one day, you go to work with the makeup that your robot learns about, and then when you get back at home after work, enjoy a cocktail that it learns to make. Thank you.